Shabbat Shalom, Rabbi David. Shabbat Shalom, congregation. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our home. Today's weekly Torah portion, Shemot, names, it's in the book of Exodus from chapter 1 through chapter 6, verse 1. Today I would like to talk about our hope. I would like to pose the question, where do we place our hope? Or on whom can we depend? Today we begin to analyze the second book of the Torah, the book of Exodus. The first book of the Torah, Bereshit, Genesis, speak of the beginning of the world, the lives of the early patriarchs, and now in the second book, Exodus, is already talking about the birth of the people of Israel. I would like to read from Exodus chapter 1, verse 7. Yet Bnei Israel were fruitful, increased abundantly, multiplied, and grew extremely numerous, so the land was filled with them. And as in the first book of the Bible, we saw the creation of the world and the first individuals, key people. Now the second book, Exodus, opens immediately into a new era, another creation story. This one begins the creation of the Jewish people. Genesis records God's command to Abraham to get up and get out to a new country that I will show you. God also suggested that Abraham's getting up and getting out would foreshadow a future command to an entire people group to get up and get out. I would like to read Genesis chapter 15, verse 13 and 14. And this is a very interesting place of scripture. And we will start from this place of scripture and we will go on. So Genesis 15, verse 13 and verse 14. Then he said to Abram, the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your seed will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. And verse 14. But I am going to judge the nation that they will serve. Afterward, they will go out with many possessions. So it was the prophecy from the Lord. It was the words from the Lord to Abram. And not only to Abram, but also to Isaac, to Jacob, and to all the descendants. So they knew about 400 years. It was clear, it was obvious for them all. And now in Exodus, we read that the time has come for this fulfillment. However, we learn that it was not easy at this time. First of all, when we read the book of Exodus, we find that the Jewish people were in the land of their slavery 30 years longer than the 400 years God told Abraham about. It's in Exodus chapter 12, verse 40. Now the time that Bnei Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. So it happened at the end of 430 years to the very day. So what's interesting here? Do you see difference between 400 and 430? So this 30 years difference. And of course, there are many explanations and assumptions why it was 430 years instead of 400 years. But today I want to share one of the most possible explanations. It's one of the explanations for sure, but it's a very interesting explanation. We know that when Joseph became the second person after the king of Egypt, after Pharaoh, he invited his entire family to Egypt because there was a famine in the land of Canaan. We know from the scriptures that Pharaoh gave the most fertile land to Joseph and his family so that it could find refuge and prosper there. It's in Genesis chapter 47. Verse 5, 6, and 11. I would like to read because I would like to build this picture for us. Pharaoh said to Joseph, saying, "Your father and your brothers came to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best part of the land. Let them live in the land of Goshen." And verse 11. Joseph settled his father and his brothers and gave them property in the land of Egypt, in the best part of the land, in the land of Ramses, just as Pharaoh commanded. So, the sons of Israel began to prosper in Egypt and multiply on the earth. They had the best land and the good fortune of Pharaoh. They had everything they could want in Egypt. They had everything because of Joseph, because of the Lord, because of Lord's mercy, and also because of Joseph who was there for them. So, let's think about it. They got everything they could dream of. They were very successful and prosperous by Egyptian standards. They became so successful in the land of Egypt. But at the same time, something happened with their spiritual life. In times when they came to Joseph in poverty and in need, saving their lives, they had nothing. But at the same time, they were very rich spiritually. We see that Jacob blesses his sons. Joseph is filled with the spirit and love for the Lord. And we can read about it in last books of Genesis, last chapters. They carried with them the calling and knowledge of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were people of calling from the Lord. They carried the Lord with themselves. But after some time, they became a prosperous people and had everything they could wish for, everything. And unfortunately, at the same time, they lost intimacy with God. They began to include worship of the gods of Egypt along with the Lord, and so they lost faith and spiritual strength. Throughout history, God warned them of this danger many times, many ways. So I just want to read from the scriptures. It's Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. This very important statement from Joshua. Joshua 24, 14. "Now, therefore, fear Adonai and worship him in sincerity and in truth. Get rid of the gods that your fathers had worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and worship Adonai." What a statement. So Joshua said that they were worshipping. They worshipped their false gods, gods of Egypt, instead of the Lord of Adonai. Remember how many times after leaving Egypt, the people of Israel tried to make an idol for themselves and call him the Lord and serve him. So one of the places we know in Exodus chapter 32, verse 4, probably was one of the most famous place of scripture. We read when Aaron received, and let's read together. "So Aaron received them from their hand and made a molten calf, fashioned with a chiseling tool. Then they said, 'This is your God Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" It's Exodus 32:4. So why they made a molten calf? Because they worshipped him in Egypt. It was their God, part of their worship there, back then in Egypt. It was part of their religious life there in Egypt. So I want to repeat once again. On the one hand, they began to flourish in Egypt. They began to be a prosperous nation in Egypt. And on the other hand, they began to assimilate with Egyptian culture and religion and worship the idols of Egypt. It was at the same time. I think one of the most, the main reasons why the Jewish people stayed in slavery for 30 years longer is that they put their trust and their hope in their strength, in their wealth, in the fertile land in which they lived. And therefore, they were not ready to obey the Lord, who warned them and gave them clear terms when they were to leave Egypt. You can imagine what would have happened if Moses had come to lead these people out of the land when everything was still in order, at the peak of prosperity and success. Can you imagine this picture? I'm sure no one would go anywhere with Moses. I can hear them saying, "Moses, are you joking? We're doing fine right here. Thanks anyhow, we don't go anywhere." So therefore, the Lord allowed circumstances such that they simply had no other choice except to go. They had to go through very difficult times in their lives. But there still was still a problem. The Israelites put their hope on the wrong foundation. Their hope was in their finances, their strength and power, but not in the Lord. And where did that get them? We know the answer. We can read in Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 through 25. "Now it came about over the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died. Bnei Israel groaned because of their slavery. They cried out, and their cry from slavery went up to God. God heard their sobbing and remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw Bnei Israel, and he was concerned about them. So, for the sons of Israel, their hope for prosperity in Egypt turned into desperation until their only hope for the future, their only hope for salvation, lay in escape from Egypt. They were ready to leave Egypt, the land of their former salvation and refuge, the place of their former dreams and prosperity, and go to the land that the Lord had prepared for them." So, why I told this story? Because it is important to receive the very important lesson from the life of Israel, from the time of Exodus. The main lesson to me, to be drawn from what we can drown from today's chapter, is that we are God's children, his people. We are his possession, as Jewish people was in Egypt at that time. We are called to be worthy citizens of his kingdom, and that he is to be the source of our hope and our trust. Only the Lord is the source of our hope and our trust. In the 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Scripture calls us. I would like to read 1 Peter 2, 9, because it's a very important place of Scriptures. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And our main hope and trust as people of God, as people who are royal priesthood, a holy nation, the only hope, the main trust should not be, and indeed cannot be, only in this world. We are called to be priests for the Lord. Praise the Lord for prosperity, for his blessings. But I know one very simple but interesting truth from the Scriptures. When we permit prosperity and blessings to replace the Lord, that is destructive behavior for us. When we substitute his abundance for his will, when we enjoy his blessings and ignore his expectations, we are in downward spiral that leads to our ruin. We need to remember that. So let's remember that the Lord is important above all else in our lives. and that he alone, not the idols and gods of Egypt or of anything anywhere else, is the source of all blessings and is our only hope, only the Lord, only him. And I would like to conclude with Luke chapter 12, the very important place of scripture for us today. And I believe because it's really the Lord showed me this place of scripture. And I read through it and I was blessed by the Lord by reading this place. It is in Luke chapter 12, verse 29 and 30 and 31. So this is the words of Yeshua, the Messiah, our Savior, our Lord. So do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink. And do not keep worrying. I believe this, at an end, it's the most important part. And do not keep worrying. Which means stay in hope, stay in faith. Look at Yeshua, look at him. He is the master of our salvation. Do not keep worrying. Verse 30. For all the nations of the world strive after these things, but your Father knows that you need these things. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things shall be added to you. Verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father chose to give you the kingdom. And verse 40, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you don't expect. So we have hope, our main hope, our trust in the Lord. We are people of the book. We are leading, we are led by the Lord, and our kingdom is the kingdom of heaven. Thank you so much.